Hey, howdy, hey, y'all. Welcome back to a new episode of Geeks at Large. My name's Taylor, and I'm joined by...
My name's Neil. Hi.
Hi, my name's Neil.
You might remember me from such other podcasts as Geeks at College, Geeks After College, and Me in the Shower.
And why does my foot smell like that?
Yeah, pretty much. which was a spinoff of me singing in, of Me in the Shower.
Are you smarter than my dead grandmother?
What the hell?
Oh, no.
Is that a thing?
No.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
That's kind of beautiful. We need to do something. I'm going to write that down. There's a sketch idea in there somewhere. And
we're fucking uninterrupted, uncensored in this episode of Geeks at Large.
We've got some opinions on things, and tell you what, you know, you need to buckle in, motherfuckers, and you're gonna
strap your ass down, bitch.
Airline food, what's the deal with that?
Guess why the chicken crossed the road? I don't give a fuck. Shut up.
Why don't we live in a world, we're not at that point in social progress where we don't have to question why a chicken crosses the road.
Maybe it's just because it fucking wants to, you know? What, you're gonna make it sit in the back of the bus now? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Salon.com article about chicken.
I want to just do like that voice, like really, like how would you describe that voice? Like passive aggressive, kind of insecure, inferiority complex. But they're reading like those jokes on popsicle sticks.
I can just call it the Tumblr voice. I don't know.
No, it's not quite that bad.
Twitter.
No. That's arguably worse than Tumblr.
Live journal?
He says as I look at Tumblr and Twitter.
I'm looking at neither. I'm looking at my copy of
I'm
Whiplash.
In the wild safari of both Twitter and the Tumblrs. Scanning the landscape for any wildlife to pop up.
Twitter and Tumblr, looking at both, neither can exist while one survives.
What is this, Clark Kent fucking Superman? How come you guys are never in the same place as once? That's really weird. And like Superman just like mind wipes them, puts them to sleep.
I was actually making a Harry Potter reference, but it's okay. Everyone uses prophecies now. It's just kind of a thing. Whatever.
We're tired and we're going to talk about Ant-Man.
That's right. We came here to fucking talk about Ant-Man. I squished an ant today, and I felt real bad about it.
Yeah, you better. But before we really get into the meat of the matter, how are you doing, Neil?
I'm alive and not on fire, and I consider both of those things to be great positives.
All right. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I like it. I'm a fan. I'm buried under a sea of work right now, but I'm managing to stay afloat. So that's good.
You know, hey, you're busy. You're working on stuff. Can you tell us about anything you're working on?
No.
God fucking damn it.
I film burlesque shows for money, so there you go.
Look, okay, I run a service where we basically just, people hire me, I film them, and we basically recreate the dancing sequence from Silence of the Lambs. You know, I'm not proud of it, but, you know, it pays the bills. Makes the wife happy.
I feel it. If it paid well enough, I'd be like, whatever, I can just look the other way.
The business is called 1-800-GOODBYE-HORSE-SHIT.
Okay, funny enough, I don't know if you've ever played Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes.
Have you played Grand Theft Auto 4?
Very little of it.
Okay, it's totally worthwhile. I mean, I like it.
Even though the cars move like fucking boots.
Yeah, they do. They really do. But I remember there was this time where I was driving, where I was riding on a motorcycle, escaping from the cops with young Jacob or whatever his name was, the Jamaican guy on my back. And, you know, the cops were shooting at us and they're following us really closely. And on the radio, they started playing Goodbye Horses. Now, I did not know that Goodbye Horses was in Grand Theft Auto 4. So you can imagine my surprise. And then, of course, naturally, I hit a speed bump because I was so shocked. I hit a speed, like a roadblock, and I crashed, and the cops gunned us both down, and then I died.
And then, goodbye, horse.
Yeah, no, that's actually exactly what happened before it went to, like, you know, slow motion black and white with wasted written on there. So it was actually, it was Grand Theft Auto 4 turned that moment into a Robert Zemeckis film, and I'll never fucking forgive it because no one believes me. That's what happens in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So, Goodbye Horses, great song.
That's what Neil's been up to, is that he played GTA 4 a while back and Goodbye Horses played.
Exactly.
That's all I can disclose to us right now.
That's really all I can say. Really, I should do another run through of GTA 4 because I actually really like that game.
GTA 4.
Yeah, I actually really like it. I mean, like 5 is an objectively better game, but there are things that I have a soft spot in my heart for with 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really like the surrogate New York. I mean, like I would never want to live in New York because why would you ever? It's a horribly depressing place, and it's dirty and disgusting, and everyone hates everyone. But as long as I'm doing a virtual version of that...
Shout out to our New York listeners. Hey!
I'm sure they probably agree with me, or if they don't, then, you know, whatever.
Hey, you know what? Fuck you. Whatever.
Fuck you. Come down to Atlanta. It's nice here. We'll probably like you. Come listen to our wide variety of the birth of trap music. I was talking with Ryan, former Geeks at Large, former Geeks at College, I should say, you know, star Ryan Heiss. We were talking about Atlanta, and like we're really happy that it's basically becoming the next Hollywood, or as we call it, Yollywood.
Mm-hmm.
We're only 2 steps away from calling it Dollywood, but that's already taken. But yeah. It's not like we can't appropriate the term, whatever. We're Atlanta. We do what we want.
Yeah.
And we were talking about like how like we're really happy that, you know, it's becoming the next Hollywood. And we're hoping that that's what the city becomes known for, because other than that, the only thing we've got is General Sherman burning this place to the fucking ground and really awful rap music.
But what about Outkast?
Oh, that's true. We do have Outkast. They're awesome, but really it's the trap music that is what we're becoming known for, and I think that's a fucking tragedy.
I for one think that it's pretty great.
It's not.
End the show there.
It's just yeah, just end the show there. And like Steven had never heard what trap music was, so then we had to explain it and play something for him. And it was kind of a soul-crushing experience. It was like telling a child that Santa Claus doesn't exist. It's that same feeling when you make someone listen to trap music for the very first time. You know, just like that soul-crushing, like you can see the joy leaving their face forever.
It's like that scene in King of the Hill where Hank listens to Bobby's music.
Toilet music!
Look at that toilet music!
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
I'm going to bring the propane. I can't do any Hank. It's not going to stop me from trying, but, you know, I am trying.
Boomhauer, let's make a rap group and call it House of Propane.
Hey, oh, man.
Get up and jump up and get down. I'll tell you what.
Tell you what. I really want this now. Like, I really,
I know, don't
really,
you want it now?
Really want this. That's one of the things I always hated about you, was making me want things that I could never have. So,
fuck
Hank
you,
Hill
Ron Burgundy.
House,
fuck you.
House of Propane. That's all I wanted, and yeah. I can't have that now.
House of Propane.
Yeah, House of Propane. That's what I want.
And I want to put Hank Hill on a USA show and call it Royal Propanes.
Shut up. End podcast right there.
Bam!
That's it. It's like, nope, just go home, everyone. We're finished. Taylor ruined it.
I ruined everything. Gotta collect
Christmas
that insurance money.
You ruined Christmas for everyone, Taylor.
Oh, well. Everyone's gonna convert to Judaism now.
Oh, man.
You get 8 gifts. So while you, while you've been doing that,
yeah,
I've been making. I guess I could talk a little bit about what I've been doing. I actually joined, I guess, a Kickstarter thing for a art book. I don't know how much I can actually disclose, but I submitted my portfolio to join a Mad Max Fury Road art book Kickstarter. So that should, I guess that Kickstarter is supposed to start in like September to coincide with the Blu-ray release.
Oh, is it December?
No, September.
No, I said September.
Yeah.
I almost said December, but then I caught myself.
I thought you said December.
I don't know. Just listen to it on the playback and be like, I fucking knew it.
Then like 30 minutes of us discussing whether or not we said December or September.
Yeah, exactly. That Neil was a lying fucker.
But yeah, it's not, I won't be paid for it for anything, but it'd be pretty cool, and I'm probably going to pimp the shit out of it when the Kickstarter happens. Because, you know, Kickstarter always kind of worries me just because of their whole policy. Like, you don't keep any of the money you raise, unlike Indiegogo.
Yeah, Indiegogo. So, well, I mean, like, Indiegogo takes a larger chunk out of it, but whatever you get, you keep.
Yeah.
Whereas Kickstarter is, if you don't reach your goal, you get none of it. Good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
So. It's, I think it's shady, but whatever.
Yeah, but we'll see. And then I'm also doing a thing. I've been talking to an editor who works for Viz.
Yeah.
And do you know Viz? Do you know what they do?
Vaguely, but...
They largely do manga, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but, you know, they do manga. They're the people that do, like, Shonen Jump and, you know, Dragon Ball and Naruto and all that kind of stuff. And I've been talking... You know, shooting emails back and forth with an editor. He's really awesome. I'm not going to say his name for whatever reason, but he actually recruited me for this thing that they're doing. It's like a charity sketchbook thingy. And they did one in 2011 for the Japanese earthquakes. You remember those?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so they did something for that. They did like a sketchbook called, like, I think it's Art for Hope or something like that, like Art for Hope Japan. And... Okay. You know, people submitted sketches and art pieces that would be featured in the book, and all proceeds would go to charity, like, you know, Red Cross or something like that. And now they're doing one for Nepal, because, you know, they had those two earthquakes a little while back. So I was actually brought on to do that. You know, I get to use Sketchbook Pro, an Autodesk program, and make it. So that's probably going to be something else that I'll be... pipping the shit out of, be like, buy this, you know, it's a good cause kind of thing. That one I do get paid for, but I didn't ask for a lot because, like, I'm in the weird situation where it's like, hey, I'm like unemployed, freelancing kind of deal, so I kind of need some kind of money. I feel bad because it's a charity, but it's not. Yeah. It's well below like what I would be probably asking for if it wasn't for charity.
Yeah,
like if it was just a straight commission or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you do where it's like you just take it because there's some money involved.
Yeah, well, like the editor that recruited me was like, here's like a window of or a range of budget that we have that you can ask for, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, there was this video I was supposed to work on for a radio production called Harry Strange, which records here in Kennesaw. Mm-hmm. In the Georgias, and the creator of it actually talked to me about doing like a video trailer for the series, and I was actually very on board with it. And I remember he asked me how much I was going to charge for it, and I said, I don't know, like 500, because I was going to shoot and edit it. And I was like, I don't know if that's too much, or like I don't know if that's, like, frankly, it wasn't really as much as I would have liked, but everyone's kind of on a budget now, so you just kind of learn to go with the flow, I guess. And he said, actually, no, that's exactly what I was expecting. A lot of people are asking for a lot more. It's like, well, I mean, I would have asked for more, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I probably shouldn't even be saying this, but like it never came to fruition. It happened. It's just like a year ago, like almost exactly a year ago. And like, he started asking me about, like, you know, special effects and, you know, like computer effects and whatnot and makeup. And I'm like, I'm the wrong guy to talk to about this. Like, you need, like, I don't think he liked my answer when I told him that, you know, there, you need like a makeup effects person, or you need like an actual computer effects person. Like, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
And then I never heard back, and it was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I would have liked to have worked on it because it was really cool, but, you know, if they never get back to you, if you just decided, I don't want to do it, like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool story, Neil. I know, right?
No, but it's cool. I mean, you know, that's why I ask you guys these questions to kind of... Because we have to, you know, we put, like, a professional, like, job spin on this show now. So it's like, yeah. You know, might as well catch up, see if there's any new developments, so on and so forth, blah, 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 yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, speaking of Atlanta, Ant-Man was filmed there.
Let's
talk about Ant-Man. So, yeah, Neil, yeah. Please, if you would, for those at home that may not know what Ant-Man is, could you please detail us just like a little like log line, quick summary of what this new Marvel movie is about?
A former thief joins up with a brilliant scientist / former superhero to take down an evil businessman. There you go.
That's it. Yeah.
And then wackiness and hilarity and Marvel hijinks ensue.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I guess you go first.
Okay. So I guess I saw it the most recently. I mean, it's only like a matter of like 2 days difference, but I saw it a couple days ago. It was interesting because going up to this movie, you know, and this could go into a larger discussion, but it almost felt like people were chomping at the bit to be the first person to claim that Ant-Man is like the first flop of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all this shit, and you know, and I'm one that like I never want to actively, you know, one that bothers me because I never want to really kind of root for something to fail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, even with the DC movies that we've been talking about on the show and everyone talks about, I'm not rooting for Batman versus Superman to fail. I'm not rooting for Suicide Squad to fail or whatever, you know, and I like completely lost my whole thing, but you know, it's like I want everything to be good. So thankfully Ant-Man was pretty damn good. So
yeah.
So I think and I know this is one of your favorite aspects of it, and I remember I tweeted out about it and you I think favorited it, where it's like it still boggles my mind that this movie's less than 2 hours, or like exactly 2 hours.
You could almost say that that is a very reasonable time length.
I dare say that was a reasonable time length.
Yeah, exactly. Just all I wanted to do, all I've ever wanted to do was to make an Ant-Man review and then like set up like, you know, small ant related puns and then just not go with them.
Yeah. But I'm happy
just
to say
drive everyone insane.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that no, this is not Marvel's first flop. One, because there's other movies that are pretty divisive in the Marvel canon. You know, like before we recorded, you and I were discussing Thor's movies, and it's like, yeah, both of those movies. I don't care if there's anyone that says that like the first Thor is like some amazing movie that's really great or whatever. There's people that don't like the first Thor. You know.
Yeah.
So.
There are people who don't like the second one.
And I like it.
and that's okay.
And that's okay. I can understand, like, I know that there's some people that are just kind of like, eh, like they weren't super hot on Ant-Man. And I can kind of understand that, like, but it's a welcome change to what we've had, especially with Age of Ultron, you know, coming out a few months back. And this is, like, almost the polar opposite in a way.
It really is. Was I on the Age of Ultron podcast? I can't remember.
Yes, you were.
That was,
yes.
Okay. One of the things I was talking about was how Age of Ultron, like I really liked it. I don't think I loved it, but I had a great time. I really liked it. But Age of Ultron was the first time that I felt like Marvel's continuity, like its empire of continuity like, it was starting to, like, buckle underneath the weight of that. Like, there's so much going on, there's so much they're having to juggle, that it was overwhelming, and it was kind of overwhelming the story. But Ant-Man is, it is the complete opposite of that. It's an almost completely unrelated story. It's very lighthearted, you know, you don't have this crazy plot about, you know, like giant universal beings and, you know, and infinity stones and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, the galaxy is in peril. It's just some former thief, you know, who teams up with this former superhero to take down his former business, like his business rival, you know, like it's nice.
Well, because you could classify it as two things. It's a heist movie and it's a comedy.
Yes.
Like, you can pretty much call it those two things. That's the two things that it is.
It's like Ocean's 11, but by Marvel.
Yeah, basically. And yeah. I think you liked it more than I did, but I still really enjoyed it.
Which is really surprising, because I'm such an Edgar Wright fanboy that I remember when Edgar Wright left that I was devastated, and I just didn't give a shit anymore. It's like, I don't care who they get. You know, it's not going to be Edgar Wright. And, you know, of course, obviously my tune has changed once I started seeing, you know, some promotional materials for it. I mean, like, the first few trailers didn't really do anything for me, but the more I saw, the more I was like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to go in with an open mind.
Once you saw the Thomas the Tank Engine bit.
That was, okay, funny enough, when I saw that in the theaters, that, like, or even when I saw it in the trailers, that was a gag that I wish I had seen for the first time in the theater.
Yeah.
But I will say that moment sold me on the movie. Mm-hmm. So it was a good thing. It was a necessary evil for them to show that in the trailer. I would have loved to have seen it for the first time in the theater, but it really did help me.
Well, I think that's the thing is that I think trailers, by and large, are one of the, like, are like a comedy's worst enemies.
Yeah, they really are.
Because more often than not, they spoil the best jokes in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I think the best comedies don't do that. That's one of the things that I love so much about Spy, is that, and I believe I said this briefly with Steven on the last episode about Comic-Con, but if you haven't seen Spy, go check out Spy. It's really well done. It's probably my favorite Paul Feig, Melissa McCarthy collaboration. It's my favorite of their collaborations, of like the three that they've done now. It makes me actually kind of excited for the Ghostbusters reboot that they're doing.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, oh my god, like, this Paul Feig wrote this. It's really funny. It works as a spy movie. Like, it's one of those deals where it doesn't just satirize it doesn't just satirize the genre it's making fun of. It does what like Hot Fuzz does, where it works, like Hot Fuzz works as a mystery and a cop movie. But it's also really funny and does send-ups to that genre in a satirical way. And Spy does that a lot, too. And I think there's, like, hints of kind of the vulgarity of, like, Melissa McCarthy's character in, like, The Heat. But, like, they use it more sparingly, so it works better.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, some really funny stuff. Like, I'm going to spoil a joke from you, okay?
Okay.
So, like, you know the scooter chase that happens that you see in the trailer?
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty funny little scene. And I actually laughed, like, you know, even though I knew it was coming, like, her going through the cement and everyone's bitching at her. It's pretty funny. But then, like, she finally finds the car and she corners it, like, it's like a dead end, and, like, the car, like, swerves around and she cuts it off at the entryway and she's ready to do, like a square off. And then a fucker just walks up to her. He's like, hey, man, like, I'm looking for a KFC. Like, there's just KFCs around here, but I'm a big Popeyes fan. You know any Popeyes? She's like, get the fuck out of here. And, like, I fucking died. It's so good. And I was caught off guard, but I'm not going to spoil the first gag. But it's totally caught me off guard, and I think it really, like, set me up for what's to come. Like, I almost said Channing Statham, but Jason Statham. Jason Statham's fucking awesome in this movie, because he's like a parody of his own self, where he's trying to one-up the Melissa McCarthy's character, and he's like, you're not ready for this. I once lost this arm. It was completely detached, and I reattached it with this arm, like shit like that. And It's like totally overblown, but he's totally shit at his job. Mm. And there's some really well done fight scenes. Like there's a knife fight in a kitchen that's really awesome. And okay. I love it because it's just like her fighting this like really agile athletic lady and she's just throwing shit at her like in the kitchen. It's really funny.
I just need to be not so exhausted on Tuesday evenings when I get home from work. Because, like, Tuesdays is when they have $6 movies at the local movie theater. And, like, that's usually the only day I go because I'm poor.
Yeah. Well, like, if I don't know if Steven's seen it yet. So you should, you know, get together with him and see if you can go see it. But
I could.
But Bobby Cannavale is in Spy, and he's also in Ant-Man. So,
whoa, you really brought that back together.
But that's the thing. I think Ant-Man really didn't spoil too many of the funny bits. Like, I'm gonna say this right now. Like, I think the first two acts are pretty good. You know, I can understand some people maybe finding them a little dull or whatever, but that third act is fucking awesome.
I actually really liked the first two acts. For me, like I liked that it had a bit of a slow build up, mainly because I feel like everyone just hates slow moving things.
I think like, so, it's but it's also like
the movie's not being slow because it's boring. It's just setting things up. It's setting up the plot. It's setting up the characters. It's setting up the situation. You know, it's kind of letting you revel a little bit in Scott's situation. You know, being like unemployed and unable to get a job, you know, like not being able to pay alimony.
Baskin Robbins.
And, oh my God. They turned Baskin Robbins into an inside joke. How the fuck do you do that? I don't know. I'm just more impressed than anything.
By the way, this episode's title is going to be brought to you by Baskin Robbins.
Just don't lie about it because Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Yeah. As Neil and I enjoy our 31 flavors. What was the drink that he got?
It was like a mango smoothie or something.
Yeah, mango freeze or whatever. That's what we're drinking right now.
Yeah, that's exactly
brought to you by Baskin Robbins.
You know, I actually stop by the Baskin Robbins area pretty often, but that's only because there's a Dunkin' Donuts there, and Dunkin' Donuts has like my favorite of the fast food coffees, or of like the readily available coffees. It's my favorite, and I don't really go over to Baskin Robbins that much. Ever since Ant-Man, maybe I need to stop by Baskin Robbins.
Maybe, you know? I fucking live there right now. That's where I'm living. I'm living at Baskin Robbins thanks to Ant-Man. Thanks, thanks, Ant-Man.
Oh my. There are bits in there that like you can really tell that there were Edgar Wright, but there are a lot of moments that you could tell were Adam McKay too, and I love both of them, so it was kind of like it was kind of the best of both worlds for me.
Yeah, well, like that's the thing, because I know like it's interesting like looking at the reactions to this movie, because I know there's some people that don't care for like Michael Pena's character and stuff like that. But then there's like people like, I know you really like Michael Pena. I thought Michael Pena was pretty cool. I think Michael Pena shined the best in the scenes where he's, you know, telling the story.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like those are definitely his best parts.
Those are the scenes I loved most.
And I'm glad they ended on one of those.
Oh yeah.
So I thought that was a really nice ending.
It was. It was a really nice ending. Yeah, back to the Edgar Wright and Adam McKay thing. Like you can pick out which moments are Edgar Wright and you can pick out which moments are Adam McKay. And I love that though. Like obviously, like the Baskin Robbins stuff. That's Adam McKay. You know, like the prison sequence at the beginning. You know, you guys have the weirdest farewell rituals. That's Adam McKay.
Yeah.
But then you have like the entire like break in scene in Hank Pym's house. That's very much an Edgar Wright scene.
Mm-hmm.
The bit about, spoiler alert, when Ant-Man and... Yellow Jacket.
And they fight in the briefcase?
That's
totally Edgar Wright.
Yeah, and you have, you know, like, you have the Cure song playing. That is absolutely Edgar Wright.
Yeah, that's totally Edgar Wright.
There is no mistake. And it... I'm always going to be bummed that we didn't get Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
Yeah, but it's like I told you,
I can't keep living in that past.
We can't keep thinking about this, because there's so many movies that are like that, you know, like, we could even think, speaking of this movie, was it Peyton Reed that directed this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was attached to do the first Fantastic Four movie. You know?
That would have been cool.
But we can't worry about story. We can't worry about that, you know? You can't, because we'll probably never know. So it's just kind of one of those deals where we just kind of have to accept the fact that, you know.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And you know what? We got what we got, and what we got, while probably not as good in most people's eyes, I still think is, like, especially for one that was set up so much to fail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people.
This is the first movie I've seen with such a troubled production that I actually, like, was, like, I don't have to make any excuses for, you know, well, it turned out pretty well despite having a troubled production. Like, if you didn't know, you would never have guessed. Like, if this wasn't horribly public, you would never have guessed anything. Like, it runs smoothly.
Exactly, yeah.
But
also just, like, people being like, what do I care about Ant-Man? Meh, meh, meh. You know, it's like...
Go fucking see the movie.
It's like, Edgar Wright isn't on it, so why do we even care anymore? You know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know... I know you were like that, but I mean, like, eventually...
I was, but then I eventually was won over.
Yeah.
You know, I was eventually won over. I mean, I'm not, like... I try not to be, like, a horrible stickler asshole about things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely resisted the change, mostly because I think part of what scared me was I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, like, you do, like, now you don't know what to expect. You, like, knowing that Edgar Wright's on there, like, you can look at his filmography and be like, okay, I can kind of have an idea of what an Ant-Man movie by this guy would be like.
Well, Edgar Wright is one of the few filmmakers that as soon as I see their name attached to something, or, like if there's a project that I'm really looking forward to, as soon as I see their name, my worries go away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not like, oh, what if it sucks? It's like, nope, it's going to be great.
Because he's used to have a bad movie, you know?
Exactly. Well, the dude knows what he's doing. The dude, like, we talked about it. Like, the man's essentially an auteur.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, he's one of those people that, like, unlike, you know, even people like, you know, Tarantino or even Scorsese, you know,
yeah,
like he hasn't made a ton of movies, but he hasn't made like an objectively, not even objectively, but just like a largely not beloved movie, you know, in some capacity.
Death.
So, I mean,
Tarantino, Death Proof.
Yeah, Death Proof. And it's like, you could say there's a couple like, with Scorsese, I'm trying to think.
I admire Gangs of New York. It's not my favorite.
Yeah. And there's, like, some of the stuff that he did, like, after Goodfellas. Like, he did that, like... Just, like, stuff that people don't, like, really like that much of Scorsese. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. You know, it's like... Yeah, exactly. It's like, look at Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola. It's like... He has a bunch of awesome movies to his name. You know, the first two got five films.
Yeah.
The Conversation. You know, Conversation. Apocalypse Now. And then it's like... Godfather Jack. 3. And then Jack.
You know, all that shit.
Yeah, all that fucking garbage.
Shit. Tetro.
Yeah, Tetro.
Wix, whatever it was. I think he's fucking with us with these titles now.
Yeah, it's like, even, like, David Lynch, too, is, like, another one of those. Like, he's an auteur that he has movies that people don't like, you know, so on and so
exactly.
forth. So, but exactly. Edgar Wright's one of those few that's, like, he's yet to make a bad movie.
Yeah, he really, you know? Yeah, I would
or
say
a
that,
maligned
like,
movie.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I hope that day never comes. I hope it never comes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I was always kind of, I was still a little bummed when I was watching the movie that it's, like, oh, man, we got Russell Carpenter for the cinematography, and I love Russell Carpenter. Like, he's great. But we would have had Bill Pope.
Yeah.
Right, it stayed on. And, like, I like the music to Ant-Man just fine. I mean, it's kind of a standard Marvel score.
Well, I like the last song that they played over the credits.
Oh, yeah, so did I.
That was a good one. Like, and I liked the ones that kind of had, like, a little jazzy feel to them.
Oh, yeah, so did I. I mean, like, it's different enough to be distinguishable. Like, I can hum the Ant-Man theme. That's different. Mm-hmm. I don't usually do that. But, like, it's still kind of, like, standard Marvel, you know, orchestral bombastic score. We would have had Stephen Price doing the score. You know, the guy who won the Academy Award for Gravity.
Yeah.
Doing the score. And that would have been amazing. So it's, like, all these things, it's like, man, this would have been incredible to see these people do it. And you're never going to get it. And that's okay. I can learn to live with that. Just as long as Edgar Wright keeps getting to make movies, I will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Oh, yonka donk.
Oh, yonka donk.
But anyways, yeah, Ant-Man is great. I was expecting to like it, but I did not expect myself to love it.
Yeah, I was so unexpected in how you received this movie. You're just like, dude, this movie's fucking awesome. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know. I usually, to anyone who doesn't know, you guys don't interact with me that much because I'm not on the podcast as often as I used to be, but I'm a little more reserved about things. Like, some people can be like really like, oh, I fucking love it. And I'll be like, yeah, I thought it was really good, you know, but I'm not going to like tip over there. Or people will be like, oh, that really sucked. And I'm like, I didn't think it was that great. Or I can be like, this movie sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's rare for me to be the one who's like clamoring for something the most out of our group of friends. Like, mm-hmm. it's very rare. Exactly. Like, I know when Brave came out, I was the one who was like, this movie sucks. And everyone's like, well, it's at least okay. You got to admit.
Like, everyone but Stephen. Me and Casey were the ones that are like, I was the one that was like, this is pretty good. Like, not pretty good, but like, this is okay. Like, there's stuff I like about it. And then Casey's like, this is my favorite animated movie of 2012, which had like Wreck-It Ralph and Paranorman and stuff. And I was Casey, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think he spilled the gun. He jumped the gun a little bit there.
Well,
I'm pretty sure
he still thinks that Brave is his favorite movie of that year. But you know,
and he's allowed to. That's fine. I know Steven and I saw Brave together, and we were not having it. We were not having it at all. It was kind of funny when we walked out. We were like, we got a lot of opinions on this, and we were both relieved to find out that we both felt relatively the same about the movie's crappiness.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice. It was a nice bonding moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Always nice to have them.
So can we totally, like, fucking end the whole, like, slump of Pixar movies now because of Inside Out?
I'm always going to be a little cautiously optimistic. But I think it's safe to say that things are getting close to back on track. I mean, like, I haven't really seen too much for The Good Dinosaur. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. Here's what I've noticed. Mm-hmm. I always get really apprehensive about Pixar's trailers, like, the past few years. And then I see the movie, and it's like, wow, this was awesome. Like, why was I nervous? And I've come to the conclusion that whoever cuts the trailers for Pixar films needs to be fired.
Well, for me, with Inside Out, I knew it was probably going to be good because it's Pete Docter, and he did Up. And it's like, Up is a really, really good movie. And I remember trying to convince my girlfriend, Lori, to go see it, and she was like, I don't know, it looks kind of shitty. And I'm like, what? It's like, it's Pete Docter. He made Up, and Up's your favorite. Why? Come on.
Yeah.
And then, like, we walked out, and she's like, that gave me the feels. And I'm like, yeah, it fucking did, right? Fucking bing bong, am I right?
On one hand, I'm groaning because you said feels. On the other hand, I'm groaning because bing bong. It still hurts. Oh, yeah, Inside Out is tied with Mad Max for, like, my favorite thing of this summer.
This has been a pretty, like, this has been an interesting summer. This is kind of, I guess, leading to a little tangent about the summer. Like, because we're entering August, not April, we're entering August. There's a couple more things out coming out. Like, you got the Fant 4 stick. who knows how that's going to fucking be. And then we got The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which looks pretty cool. At the end of July, we got, you know, Mission Impossible 5, which looks pretty great.
It does.
Yeah, like, it's a fucking fifth movie in a series, and it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
That's a series that gets better as it goes, and I can't think of a movie, of many movie series that do that, especially five movies.
Well, I mean, you really couldn't get much worse than Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, yeah. Mission Impossible 2 is just one of those amazing, like, watch it with friends bad movies. Because it's so bad. It's so ridiculous.
It is.
Like, fucking jousting on goddamn motorcycles. And it's one of those things where it is kind of like the modern Bond series in that, you know, everyone's directed by a different person.
They all have different styles.
And they all have very different styles. Like, Brian De Palma's is very, like, you know, kind of 90s, kind of like a weird espionage. It reminds me of stuff like Clear and Present Danger, kind of, in terms of, like, cinematography and palette and stuff. And then you get to, you know, John Woo doing the second one, and it's completely batshit, and it's like Face Off meets James Bond, kind of. In the early, what was it, like 2000 or 2001 that movie came out or something like that? And you got three. You got three, which is J.J. Abrams, and then you got four, which is Brad Bird, and at this point in time, four is my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, three's close, but I think three's...
Three is awesome. I feel like everyone forgets about three.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, because, like, I mean, like, it's kind of hard to follow up with, when you've got, you know, like, the first one is kind of a classic. I'm not going to say it's the best movie ever.
Yeah, it's not a super great movie, but it's, like...
There's a twist at the end that kind of just shits on everything.
Yeah, there is. But the... And plus, you have, like, I know a lot of people who are, like, are fans of the original series is like, yeah, like, this is about, like, a team, and then, like, all the fucking teammates die in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it's a Tom Cruise vehicle, really.
Yeah. And I know that's been people's criticism through, like, the whole series, but that's what one of the things I like about 4 is that people do shit in 4. Like, you know, you got Jeremy Renner's character, you got Simon Pegg's character, Paula Patton's character, they all do something.
4 really continues the theme of, like, Brad Bird. One of the overarching themes of his films is, like, exceptional people working together.
Mm-hmm.
You got The Incredibles.
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, which I still haven't seen, and I can't say I'm really in any rush to go see, but apparently that also deals with that, too.
Because guess who fucking did, like, drafts of that script?
Damon Lindelof.
What the fuck, Hollywood? Why do you keep putting this guy on stuff? Keep him in TV.
That dude must have pictures of, like, Hollywood execs fucking goats.
Or, like, I don't know, burning pictures of Jewish people. I don't know. Like, something awful. Like,
he's got something bad.
He's got some dirt on people to keep fucking getting work.
Maybe he's just, like, the nicest guy ever, and people are like, well, you know, other people like him, so let's get him on this. And then they write their script,
yeah,
and like,
it's the Adam Sandler effect, where Adam Sandler is pretty much a really good guy, but he just makes shit, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, he's such a good guy.
And then they read the script, and they're like, oh, no.
I'm pretty sure the script is just, like, shit, like a shitty napkin or something. Like, you say...
It's a napkin with, like, really poorly drawn pair of boobs.
Did you hear about this? Like, Pixels is coming out tomorrow as of this recording. And
yeah.
Don't you love the fact that literally, apparently at the end of the movie, spoilers, people, spoilers for Pixels, is, like, their trophy that they get for beating the bad guys is literally a woman. It's like, oh, Neil, did you die? Are you still alive? Neil, are you alive?
Yeah. Kind of wish I wasn't after hearing that.
Well, there you go. Pixels.
Pixels. Oh, God. You can tell that it's a movie about classic video games because it looks like there's only 8 funny bits in it. Just kidding. There are none.
There's 0.
There's 0, apparently.
Did you just make that up, that 8-bit joke?
Oh. I wish I did.
God, damn it, Neil.
I'm stealing someone else's joke, much like Pixels is stealing someone else's premise.
Futurama.
But yeah, it was like, rather than watching this piece of shit, I'm just going to stay home and watch that episode of Futurama, because why watch Pixels when you can easily watch Futurama?
Yeah, exactly. Just watch Futurama.
Just abandon all of your dreams and priorities and just stay home and just watch Futurama. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. Don't call your girlfriend or boyfriend, whichever way you're going. I don't give a shit.
Your dreams are dead.
Don't call anyone. Don't water your plants. Don't even eat. Just watch Futurama.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
And you'll be that much closer to achieving nirvana in your life.
Yeah. Just imagine.
What the fuck?
Just imagine.
Die of starvation. I don't know.
Just insert Shia LaBeouf saying, do it. So.
Do it.
Do it. Did you? Okay. On a note about the fucking Shia LaBeouf meme, there's amazing Steven Universe ones, because there's a song that they have in the show called, like, Do It For Him.
Okay.
And of course, someone splices it together with that. So every time the person sings it, do it, you see Shia LaBeouf saying, do it. And, yeah. It's
the internet must be stopped.
Yep. No, it was amazing.
Oh, I know. Just
Jesus Christ, what were we talking about before we had a realization of the inevitability of our deaths after talking about pixels?
Something about Ant-Man?
Something about Ant-Man, I guess. Well, it's like we were talking about the summer as a whole, and like...
Yeah, the summer as a whole.
Like, I think a lot of the big movies that people were expecting to be great... Like, I still think Age of Ultron is pretty damn good.
Oh, it totally is.
I think it's a really, really solid movie. And it's like, I'm okay with it not being as good as the first Avengers, because the first Avengers is so damn good, in my opinion.
It's such a lightning in a bottle thing.
Yeah, so it's like, to make a follow-up to that, it's like, they did as good as they fucking could, probably. You know, and juggle the amount of continuity they have to deal with. You got Mad Max, which, you know, a lot of people were worried that it was just gonna be like another Dread where no one saw it and it become a huge cult hit, but now it's like the perfect example that word of mouth still fucking works.
Yeah, because, and I'm hoping that Ant-Man's gonna be the same.
Yeah, I hope Ant-Man's doing that too. Like, I think in recent years, word of mouth has become more and more of a thing. Like, there was a time where, like, it wasn't, but I think with, like, the advent of social media and stuff, now it's kind of making a comeback, because I think, you know, Kingsman was like that a bit, because I don't think it would have made, like, what, 130 or whatever it made.
Without word of mouth.
Those ads were okay,
but not great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know what to expect from Kingsman, especially because it was, like, delayed, too. I think it was supposed to come out in the fall.
Yeah, I only saw it because Matthew Vaughn's name was attached to it. That was the only I knew.
Yeah. And it turned out to be really fucking sweet, so...
Oh, yeah, I love Kingsman. It was great.
And then, of course, Mad Max, I think. And I think Ant-Man, you know, and then even last year, you had Guardians, you know? Like, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people were just like, go see it. It's so... Like, people who would never expect to go see a movie like Guardians of the Galaxy... And they went and
saw it. We're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, because it's such a weird concept, and, you know, so, yeah.
I just want Ant-Man to do well, just so it could be like, hey, we want something a little different, please.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing, and I think that's kind of where a lot, like, some people are kind of reacting unfavorably to Ant-Man, is maybe just because it's like, it wasn't what they were expecting, even though what they're... being given is actually a good thing. Like, here's a movie that takes a step back. It, you know, the scales are smaller, and, you know, it takes its time. And I think that's another reason why Guardians was successful, too, is that because it wasn't yet connected very much to the main continuity.
Yeah.
And I think
it's... I don't think they even will. Like, that's kind of a question. Like, I know that James Gunn had been... Like, someone had asked James Gunn... And he was saying, like, I don't really see the Guardians and the Avengers really teaming up.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, he was saying, like, I kind of want them to remain separate, which is, like, it's fine with me.
I mean, they might, I mean, they're eventually going to have to probably do something, but...
Oh, yeah. Because,
I mean, Thanos is, I mean, the connection is Thanos, like, the main one. So you got that, and, but I don't know, I mean, I feel like it'd be kind of like... false advertising to not have them kind of interact in some way.
That's fair.
What I mean?
Really, I just want Peter Quill to discover iTunes.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm just excited to know, like, what's going to be the soundtrack for 2.
Yeah, I always... Okay, so apparently you can tweet at James Gunn with a song recommendation.
Oh yeah?
And he will tweet you back and say, that is a fucking terrible idea.
Have you done it?
No.
Oh, you should.
I don't know. I'm just really worried that he's going to tell me that my idea of having Brian Ferry's The In Crowd is a bad idea. Because, like, I hadn't heard it in years, and then I was listening to the radio at work, because, you know, you don't get to listen to your iPod at work, you just have to listen to what's on the car. And I heard The In Crowd by Brian Ferry. I was like, man, this is such a fucking great song.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I just got into my head, and I was like, what if there was, like, this ironic montage of, you know, the Guardians doing their thing, I don't know, set to Brian Ferry's The In Crowd, like, wouldn't that be awesome? And so now I've kind of got it in my head, it's like, man, wouldn't it be great if it was in there? And of course, it's not going to be in there, and I'll get myself disappointed, and be like, Neil, why did you get yourself disappointed? Like, literally no one said it was going to be in there but you.
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just tweeting out to James Gunn to include Word Up by Cameo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, that's a good idea. He'll really love that.
Yeah, I think it would be really appropriate.
James Gunn is really funny.
Yeah.
In how... What's the word I'm looking for?
What's the word?
He's very clear about his disdain for terrible song recommendations. Like, I know one person was like, if Kung Fu Fighting isn't in there, then, you know, there's no hope. And he said something like, I would literally die before I put that song in my movie. He says that one a lot. Like, I know someone was talking about how he posted this deleted scene where during the big dance off with Ronan the Accuser at the end of the movie, apparently they threw the dance over to Dave Bautista, who was not in on the joke.
Yeah.
So he had to like dance on the spot, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a blooper, right?
Yeah, it was a blooper. It was really funny. And someone tweeted saying, man, why didn't you put this in the actual movie? And he said something like, basically said, like, you know, I would rather fucking die than put this in the actual movie. It's like, man, James Gunn, don't change ever. You're my favorite. You're the best.
Speaking of which, I love the news that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is going to be called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really looking forward to the Volume 2 soundtrack. Like, I just want another.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to feel pressure to, like, you know, I got to relive the success of the first one. It's like, just do what you want. Just do what's best for the movie.
Yeah. So,
go back to Ant-Man.
going back to Ant-Man, is there any, like, negatives you have about the movie?
Not that I can think of. I mean, like, I'm kind of curious to see how it fares with, like, multiple viewings.
Yeah, I think it will probably get better for me anyway.
I think
it will. Because I feel like whenever you see, like, a big movie like this, like, your expectations aren't in check, and then you see it again, and then, like, once you see it twice, it's like when you go in the second time, your expectations are in check, and you just kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that happens with good movies, you know what I mean? Like, I think Guardians worked like that. I think even Avengers 2 worked at that, because I saw it twice.
Yeah, I saw it twice as well. I saw it a second time as a date, and yeah. I actually enjoyed it a lot more the second time.
Yeah.
And I knew what to look.
I also think this one will, too.
The projection was better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, like, the theater I saw it at had a better projector and everything, so mm-hmm. I wasn't sitting at the very front row, like, looking up with my head up the whole time. It was like, this is a nice picture. This is a good viewing experience. Nice.
Okay, neat.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have been talking about, like, Corey Stoll in the movie, and, like, yeah, Yellow Jacket's yet another, you know, weak, you know, Marvel villain. And
I thought he was one of the engaging Marvel villains.
I thought he was pretty, like, I liked how you could tell that he was having fun.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about it. And
he is the exact opposite of Christopher Eccleston in Thor 2.
Yes.
Who is buried under so much makeup and not allowed to do anything fun that you wonder how big was his paycheck for him to accept this? Did Christopher Eccleston need a new speedboat?
Yes.
I mean, everyone could use a speedboat.
Is this a reference to The Leftovers?
No.
Oh, because there's a boat in regards to his character in The Leftovers. So I was like, Neo, did you watch The Leftovers?
Of course I watched The Leftovers, but I wasn't consciously making a joke about it. I just really like speedboats.
That's true. Speedboats make it. Well, jet skis make everything better, but I guess true. If you had to settle for not having jet skis, you know, speedboats are basically just giant jet skis. So.
They pretty much are. Why aren't they called boater cycles?
Boater cycles? What's that from, too?
I don't know. My brother said it, and I was like, man, my brother's fucking right.
So.
My brother was just like, why don't they call them boater cycles? And I thought, you know, he's got a point. Why does this happen?
And I was thinking about this, and I know I tweeted or I texted you about this, and you know, because I know everyone's like, "Man, Marvel's villains suck compared to the DC cinematic villains. And I'm like, what's the criteria for this? Like, are we including, like, older DC movies, like the original Christopher Reeve Superman movies, you know, and Tim Burton's Batman movies, and so on and so forth? Because it's like, I'm not here to say that that Marvel Cinematic Universe has awesome villains. I think there might be like two or three that are actually good. Yeah. I think Loki, by and large, is pretty good, and I thought Ultron was good.
I actually was a little disappointed in Ultron. I mean, like, I liked Ultron a lot.
Well, by a performance.
Yeah.
Like, a really good performance.
I wish there was more of him.
Well, but isn't that, I mean, that's kind of what you want. You don't want him to go away.
No, it was for a movie that's called Age of Ultron. I was expecting there to be more Ultron.
Well,
like, Ultron kind of felt like second fiddle in a strange sense. I mean, like, I really enjoyed him. Felt like there was so much else going on that it's like, I just give me more Ultron. That's what I want.
Well, it's one of those deals where I think with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that they devote so much time to actually developing the heroes that there's just not that much time to develop the bad guys as much, except over like a couple movies. That's like why like Loki's a pretty decent villain, because he's got multiple movies to develop him, you know. But it's like, and it kind of goes to the fact that, like, a lot of people bring up about The Dark Knight, and how a lot of people think that The Dark Knight isn't a super great Batman movie, which I can totally understand, because Batman is kind of second fiddle in that movie.
A little bit, yeah.
To the Joker. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like a give-and-take kind of deal. Like, you can't have both really... You know, with as much as that's going on in these movies, I don't want to make excuses or anything for Marvel, but it's like, obviously, like, Thor the Dark World, like, what the fuck was his name?
Malekith,
that's what his name was. Know. Like, you know, he wasn't a good villain at all. Iron Man 2 didn't have very good villains. I mean, Sam Rockwell, but he wasn't in it that much.
Yeah, he's Sam Rockwell.
I like Guy Pearce in Iron Man 3, but I mean...
Oh, yeah. Well, I like a lot of things about Iron Man 3.
Like, I mean, I think it's because in a lot of DC movies, the bad guys take center stage. Because in the DC universe, I would argue that even in, like, a lot of the comics, the bad guys overshadow the heroes. Especially Batman.
Oh, you know?
Like, in the comics, it's like one of the... Almost before you even think of Batman, you think of, like, the Joker or the Penguin or Mr. Freeze or whomever, you know?
The rogue gallery is a bit overpowering.
Mm-hmm. And, like, even with, like, Spider-Man, you still, like, come back for Spider-Man. And Spider-Man's got probably the best rogues gallery of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Like, the biggest one that you can compare to Batman. But, I don't know, like, I'm looking back at, like, DC's movies and it's like... Like, Gene Hackman's okay, you know, in the first Superman. I think Terrence Stamp as Zod is pretty great.
He is.
Then you fast forward to Tim Burton's Batman, and, you know, some people don't like Jack Nicholson's Joker. I like Jack Nicholson's Joker, you know.
I
like him fine, and it's like, then you get to, you know, was it Batman Returns? That's the second one?
Penguin.
You get the Penguin, but it's like, I don't know how many people like Danny DeVito's Penguin.
I like Danny DeVito's Penguin just fine.
But see, like, that's the thing. It's like, so many of them are like, just fine, you know, and then, like, you get to, like, Batman Forever, and it's like, well, Jim Carrey's Riddler's pretty good, but Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face is bad, you know?
It's kind of baffling,
It's kind of a waste. And then, of course, you get to fucking Batman and Robin.
We don't talk about that one.
Where it's completely known for having shitty villains.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then it's like, and I don't even remember what comes after that. I mean, there's, like, Catwoman. Do we want to talk about Catwoman? And then, like, you know, you get to Batman Begins. And it's like, you know, Ra's al Ghul's pretty fine. Like, you know.
I liked him quite fine. I liked him.
Yeah, like, I liked him. But, like, that's the thing.
You have, like, the Scarecrow as well.
Scarecrow's pretty good. I mean, the Scarecrow... Oh, I love Scarecrow. Yeah, and then, of course, you get to The Dark Knight, and then you have Heath Ledger's Joker, and it's like, oh my god, it's so fucking good. you know,
and then you get to Dark Knight Rises, where you have Bane, where I personally loved Bane.
I thought Bane was pretty great. Yeah. I think Talia's kind of, I don't even really want to count Talia.
Yeah, Talia's kind of an awkward, like, I was actually talking about Dark Knight Rises with the director of a documentary I'm working on, where we were talking about, like, people's weird feelings on things on the internet, where I was talking about how, okay, you know that feeling where you don't have enough money for your rent, and you're like, oh my god, how am I gonna pay this, like, you get really anxious and kind of angry sometimes, like, mm-hmm. It's this really, like, visceral feeling. Now imagine how that someone feels this about a fucking Batman movie. And to me, that's the internet now. It's like, wow, like, that really, that feeling that you can't pay your rent. People apply that to Game of Thrones. That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, True Detective Season 2. It's really weird. That's the internet to me. And, like, I love The Dark Knight Rises. I'm not going to say it's a perfect movie, because it most definitely isn't. I think it's about two rewrites away from short of being, like, actually, like, legitimately great. Mm-hmm. But I do love the movie. Like, it's got interesting ideas. It's like, it has some of the best action set pieces in the entire trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I would dare say in, like, DC's, like, the DC films thing, like the entirety of DC's film universe. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not love Bane versus Batman, that first fight? Like, oh my god.
I was born in the darkness.
That scene, that is probably the best thing that Christopher Nolan ever directed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's legitimately incredible. It's just that overwhelming cynicism that comes with internet film criticism.
Well, I think the thing is that, like, of course you have the whole idea that now everyone has a voice with the internet and whatever, and they all have a venue to voice. And
sometimes they shouldn't.
And I think it's like, it's become such the in thing to be, like, overly cynical and whatever. And I think people misinterpret stuff like, you know, in a Nostalgia Critic and even stuff like CinemaSins, even though it's like people use CinemaSins as like of like legitimate source of criticism. And it's like, no. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of CinemaSins, is because even though, excuse me, they're like, oh, it's just a joke, we're just joking. It's like, but you don't...
Are you really?
But, like, well, I'm not even questioning if they really are, if they are or not. It's just that the delivery isn't selling that it's a joke. Like, Nostalgia Critic, you can. Like, you can totally, like, you can think about it. And even, like, Half in the Bag and Red Letter Media, you can tell that there's a bit of, like, you know, a jokey sarcasm about some of their stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like with stuff, like, that I've heard from CinemaSins, it's like, okay, I get it, but, like, we can't just, like, have this, like, we can't just make a hobby out of pointing out plot holes, because every movie has plot holes.
Yeah.
Every movie. First off, big, like, words written in the sky, every movie has plot holes.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're not smarter for pointing out said plot holes. Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's like, plot holes exist in every movie, and the goal of the movie is to basically distract you from said plot holes. There's plot holes from Back to the Future, in all of them. It's time travel. Yeah. There's always plot holes in time travel.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you don't notice it because you're so wrapped up in the story and you're enjoying it and whatever. Star Wars has plot holes. Star Trek has plot holes.
It's like when someone pointed out to me that Raiders of the Lost Ark, like, if you take Indiana Jones out of it, like, everything still goes according to plan.
Yeah, basically.
But you would never have noticed that because the movie is so good.
Exactly. It's such an enjoyable movie, and it's like...
So when you're that one asshole who can't abide by people liking something that you don't, it's like, oh, go ahead and tell people, that, you know, like, how can you like Indiana... How can you like Raiders of the Lost Ark when you just take Indiana Jones out of the equation and everything still happens? Because it's a fucking awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you think that you made my life better by shitting on that? Like,
thanks for doing me such an awesome favor and just shitting on something that I love. Thank you. I was so wrong in liking something.
You've definitely endeared yourself to me for the rest of history. Just know that now.
And it's like, but and of course, like, you know, bad movies usually suck at hiding the plot holes.
Oh, yeah. So
the fact
absolutely.
That, like, you're literally just sitting there and you're like, wait, what the fuck? They're like, why is this happening? What, shouldn't this be happening? You know, you look at something like Sucker Punch, and it's like, what? Okay. So, like, she goes into her head, and we don't know, and then you have, like, these plot holes about how there's multiple realities, what's going on in her head, and there's, it's like a stupid version of Inception. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like Inception for stupid people. That's how I used to describe it.
Yeah. Except the whole knowing you're in a dream thing, it's like, it's not even clear in that movie, you know?
Well, like, here's the thing. In Inception, there are actual stakes involved in being in the dream. That's why they have the whole, the anesthetic is too strong.
Something like
and
that.
Like, yeah, and like once that happens, like if you die in there, you're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, you don't
and,
wake you
know,
up.
Like the, and like the militarized subconscious, you know, like those are actual real stakes.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch, there are none.
Yeah.
There aren't. There aren't any.
And so like
it's like 30-minute chunks of like nothing's gonna happen. Like this doesn't matter at all. Like what the hell is this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. It's offensive to me as a viewer. Sorry, Dark Knight Rises, you were saying.
And, like, I think, like yeah, okay, you know, I'm not gonna lie that, like, the whole, like, him just, like, going back to Gotham is kind of, like, a weird little thing, but I'm not gonna overblow it.
I'm not gonna say the movie's the worst of all time.
I'm not gonna hinge the movie's quality entirely on that scene.
When he lights the bridge on fire and the bat signal comes on, like, that's really all just build up to that scene. That scene's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It did exactly what it was supposed to do, and that's great. My father, who is a writer, who is, like, a big stickler for plot holes and whatnot, are saying, like, that's not efficient storytelling. Why would you do that? You know, he's who I learned a lot of this stuff from. I told him about that scene in The Dark Knight Rises, and, you know, like, apparently they did actually film scenes of Bruce Wayne trying to get back into Gotham, but they cut it because it's just not a plot thing.
And it's also what made the movie longer, and it's a pretty lengthy
it's
movie.
It's unnecessary. It ruins the flow. And I told my dad about that, and my dad actually said, no, don't, like, cut it out. Just leave it out there. It doesn't add anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not important. You don't need to know how he got back. It's just he got back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ruins the flow. And it was like, oh, my God, even my dad is like, yeah, just take it out. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, it's like going and moving on to like another movie. It's like here is a good, in my opinion, DC villain, which is Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor.
I like him as Lex Luthor.
I like his. He's my favorite Lex Luthor in the live action movies. Anyway, you know, probably gonna stay that way after.
Probably. It's like he's having fun, but I mean, he's not Kevin Spacey.
Well, you know, he called Comic-Con a genocide or whatever.
I think he just used the wrong word.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, he's like, it was taken out of context. It's just a joke. It's like, what?
And then people are still ragging on him. It's like, oh my God, guys, there's other things you could apply.
It's like attention to. I'm sorry. Instead of genocide, I should have just had a really good time. I don't know. I don't know why. Pfft, you know, genocide. Pfft, whatever.
I know that like he's actually a very like uncomfortable person with like a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And like big throngs of crowds.
So he chose a perfect profession.
Well, no, it's not that. I think it's just the idea of going to a convention where everyone is there to see you, like, makes him really uncomfortable. Yeah. And, like, I can understand that. I can see where he's coming from with that.
Yeah, I just want to kind of know what his thought process was.
I get what he was trying to say. He just used the wrong word, and now everyone's, like, ragging on him. It's like, guys, just give it up. Like, you don't win anything. Like, there's no clear winner here. He made a mistake, whatever, just let it go.
Let it go.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
You say that phrase a lot, Neil, by the way.
What, shut the fuck up?
No, let it go.
I use both.
For someone that hates that movie.
You know, it's amazing that you can say the phrase let it go and not be not be referencing that fucking song.
What?
I used to use Let It Go for so many years before fucking Frozen.
No.
I just found out that the Fox Theater at the for the end of their summer movie schedule, the last thing they're playing is a sing-along viewing of Frozen.
So you're going to go, right?
No.
See, that was your cue to use the James Gunn, like...
I would rather fucking die than go there.
There you go.
If Chelsea and I were still together, she would have made me go, and I would have hated every single moment of it.
I don't know, maybe.
She would have been there, and I would have really enjoyed it. Now my brother is going to try to get me to go, and I'm just be like, I'm not fucking doing it.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it sounds like the worst thing ever.
Oh, man.
I don't need to deal with little kids singing songs that I hate again. I had that enough this year. I had that enough. I'm not doing it.
But anyway, so like Kevin Spacey in Superman Returns, but then it's like, okay, who was the bad guy in fucking, you know, Green Lantern? It was Parallax, who was like a smoke cloud.
Like, it's like a big booger cloud.
Yeah, and it's like, and like, here's where the debate gets muddy, because it's like, okay, are we going to include all of the Marvel movies before the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or are we just going to include the DC Universe that they're making right now and compare those two? Because obviously there's no fucking contest, because between Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman and, I guess, Suicide Squad, it's like, what's his name that played Zod in Man of Steel?
Michael Shannon.
Completely wasted.
He's still like one of the best things about that movie, but yeah, Zod is the closest thing to an actual like multi-dimensional character in that movie. Mm-hmm. And even then he still doesn't really come that close.
He's still like 1.5D.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, and then we have this one, it's like, I don't even know who the bad guy is going to be in this one. I mean, all Lex Luthor, but you know.
Whatever. It's gonna be an existential villain, really.
What I like about the Marvel films is that the conflict comes from like, you know, in, you know, within, you know, like you look at Tony Stark and how his motivation and how he's being guided by like, you know, wanting to change his family name from being a weapons maker and all that stuff and redeeming himself, and you got Captain America who's got the whole fish out of water thing, you know, stuff like that. So it's like you have all these characters that do have, you know, stuff going on. So it's like they don't need to have. While it would be great if they had better villains, the movies aren't necessarily like Guardians of the Galaxy isn't worse because of
Ronan being kind of
blocked.
I even liked Ronan, but he's not the strongest character.
I mean, he doesn't do a whole lot. He's cool looking, but that's kind of
he's cool. He's you Lee know? Pace.
He's Lee Pace. Yeah.
Lee Pace is, I'm just always happy to have more Lee Pace in my life.
Exactly. But, you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's such a dumb debate when, like, you know, you have people that, because, you know, you have the camps, you have the Marvel fanboys and the DC fanboys, and they're just, like, button heads, and it's like, I'm over here like, I want both to be good, because I like both.
Can't we all just get along?
Can't we just fucking kiss already? God damn it.
I'm all for kissing.
I'm all for kissing and smooching. So... And I know people keep talking about, like, you know, Corey Stoll's a weak villain, and I'm not going to say he's great or anything, but I think you can tell
that he's...
I
really enjoyed him.
Yeah, I think he has fun. I mean, he's not incredibly memorable or whatever, but I think it's because Marvel just kind of has a different MO where it's about, they're just focusing on the heroes, and I feel like in a lot of DC movies beforehand, especially Batman movies... Where it's like, I felt like Batman had very little character in like the Burton movies and the 90s Batmans. Yeah. And like, there was a bit more in the Nolan ones, but I think he kind of got lost because I think Nolan was just having so much fun with the bad guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christian Bale's Batman kind of took a backseat. I think they started off good with Batman Begins, but I think, you know, as it goes, it's kind of like Batman becomes kind of less of a factor, but then like comes back.
I find Bruce Wayne fascinating. And
Bruce Wayne's
I think that
good.
The movies focus a lot more on Bruce Wayne, and I'm not complaining about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like the thematic relevance, you know, of coming back to, you know, to Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. I actually like that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I don't know. I feel like we might be underselling the whole, you know, like or like we might be underselling the use of Bruce Wayne in the Nolan trilogy, because like I actually really like him in that, as compared to like the Tim Burton movies where he's just he's there, he's nice, but you know, like really you're there for the villains.
Yeah. But I think Nolan's films suffer for that, but not nearly as much. I would still say like The Dark Knight is like, I wouldn't say it's like a super awesome, amazing Batman movie, but no, it's a super awesome, amazing, it's a super great movie. Like, it's a really well-made movie.
Yeah, but Batman, yeah, no, I agree. No, the Joker actually doesn't have all that much screen time, but like his presence is always felt. Yeah,
he's such a force.
He is. He's such a force, and then it really comes down to like how the characters deal with him.
Yeah, and it's like going back.
Batman kind of takes a back seat to, you know, like his development takes a back seat to more like reacting to the Joker, and I mean that's fine with me. Yeah. It's not too bad.
And it's like going back to Guardians. Like a lot of the conflict just comes from this group of misfits. So you know, Ronan. I hope Thanos is good. I mean, they got a really good actor to voice him.
Yeah,
and mocap him. So I hope he's not wasted. I think, because Thanos is a really kind of fun character. Like how in the comics he's literally trying to like court death.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty fucking sweet. I'm interested to see like what happens. Like, I'm not sure who's going to be the de facto bad guy in Civil War.
I kind of don't want there to be one.
Yeah, like I feel like, well, because in the comics it's Iron Man versus Captain America, except in the comic series, it kind of sucks ass. So, yeah.
Well, it's Mark Millar. What are you gonna do?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so we'll see how the Russo brothers do it. I'm totally rooting for them since loved their last movie.
And I love the Russos in general.
Yeah, well, they've carved out an awesome legacy with like comedic television.
Well, I remember when they were talking about, you know, like, oh, they'll have a male Ghostbusters movie, which is like, this is even more pointless than the other one. Mm-hmm. But then they were talking about how Channing Tatum will be in it. I'm like, okay. And it's going to be directed by the Russos. Like, oh, but I like them. I'm not really a fan of Paul Feig, but I love the Russos. And it's like, how do you defend a movie that is arguably more useless than the other one and not sound like a horrible hypocrite?
Mm-hmm.
That was my problem. Was like, I don't want a Ghostbusters reboot or anything, but I love the Russos.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't say anything. It was like, I don't need it, whatever. So I just didn't say anything. But that's how much I love the Russos. Like, I think they're fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're taking over for the Avengers 3.
Oh, yeah. So am I. I mean, I love Joss Whedon, but I think maybe it's time for some new blood.
Yeah.
So and Whedon has been very vocal about his frustrations and everything. Where it's Whedon didn't seem to want to keep a lot of fans this year. This was kind of his farewell from the public tour.
Bye forever.
Exactly. This scene from Jurassic World is really sexist, but I'm going to take it out of context. Fuck everyone. And then, like, air all of Marvel's dirty laundry. It's just like, man, Whedon, you are not looking to get hired for a while.
I'm Joss Whedon, course, motherfuckers.
You're good. No, Whedon out.
Whedon out, bitches. Smoke bomb. Yeah, but, I mean, it'll be interesting. And it's like, I think with Ant-Man, it's fine with Corey Stoll because it's such a lighter movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's so much going on. You're trying to keep, you know, it contained within 2 hours. It's less than 2 hours, which is still a feat that I can't even wrap my head around, even though...
Yeah, because how long was the first Iron Man movie?
Well, I actually am looking, like, I have Guardians up right now. That's actually close to 2 hours. It's 122 minutes.
Okay, so that's just over hours.
So, but it feels longer in a way.
It does, actually. Ant-Man feels very spry.
Iron Man is 126. Iron Man 2 is 125.
And yet that one feels like an eternity.
Yeah, 130 for Iron Man 3. How much is the Avengers?
Long.
143 minutes.
Yeah, that's about 2.5 hours.
That's almost 2.5 hours.
And then you get to Avengers 2, and it's like, Jesus Christ.
It's actually shorter. It's like 2 minutes shorter, apparently. So, but yeah, like, I mean, I guess Marvel, I guess this is the first one that felt like it was less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because it had such a brisk pace, Ant-Man did. So we've been jumping around in our topics, but it's like, you know.
It's been a fun discussion, though, at least
I think. Yeah, like, so. I wanted to discuss the whole villain thing, because I feel like it's kind of overblown how, like, amazing DC's cinematic villains are, and it's like...
Well, also, but, if you keep in mind how many of those villains are just reused over and over,
like, the Joker is going to be used for the third fucking time.
Yeah, like, Joker, Zod... Or
fourth time if you count the Adam West Batman movie.
Yeah, it's like Joker, Zod, Lex Luthor, even Bane, they've used him twice.
Yeah, thankfully he was better in the second
one. Yeah, like Two-Face.
Yeah.
Like, he's been used twice.
All Batman villains, except for two of them.
All fucking Batman villains. And they've just been reused over and over and over again, as opposed to the Marvel ones, where there's only like a handful of them that, you know, whatever.
You know, but it's like, and it's interesting because with Marvel's movies, it's like, we have villains that could be great, but they haven't come back yet. Like Red Skull. You know, like Red Skull could be something cool, like if they do something cool with him. But it's just like, you know, he hasn't come back. I don't know if it's like something with Hugo Weaving or whatever, but yeah. So
They're trying.
I'm interested to see, like, okay, we're a little over a year away from the next Marvel, like, solo debut movie, which is Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that they keep this going, where it's like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy was like, you know, last year's, and that was really good.
Yeah.
And then we have this one. This one's really good. Not as good as Guardians, but it's close. In my opinion. I think it's like tied for you, right?
They're tied for me.
Okay. And now we have Doctor Strange, which Doctor Strange is going to be such a like weird new... like beast to deal with, and you got a new character, you have this more cosmic element.
I'm actually rather excited for that.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I think those are the only two coming out next year, is Civil War and Doctor Strange, and they're like 6 months apart or something.
Yeah.
So
I wonder what they're gonna do for Black Panther, because I remember they were talking about Ava DuVernay directing it, and then she drops out, and people are like, "What? How could she do that?" Like, and it's like, really? You didn't see that coming? Like, I could have told you that this had creative differences written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she wanted to talk more about black cinema, and I think Kevin Feige was like, let's talk Infinity Stones. She's like, okay.
Well. Okay, I'm out, bitch.
She's like, and she's like, oh, there's just a lot of compromises. Like, yeah, you went to Marvel. What did you expect?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm fine with it. I'm just curious to see what they do. I don't really have any, like, huge particular love towards Black Panther, so...
Well, Black Panther's another character like Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, Ant-Man. Like, did you have any particular love for Ant-Man before this movie?
A little bit. I always thought he was really interesting, but, I mean, like, I didn't really know enough about him.
How about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I knew almost nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy.
There you go.
Yeah, you know? That's why I was so open to, like, just do whatever, guys. Just make me, just entertain me.
And, you know, you got, what's his name? Doing the movie.
Scott Derrickson.
No, the actor playing him.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, not Dr. Strange. I'm talking about Black Panther. Chadwick Boseman.
I was gonna, you didn't give me time to break out one of my Benedict Cumberbatch puns.
Yeah. Comes down to story and perspective. That's the thing about DuVernay. So we'll see what happens. Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay, yeah.
Yeah, just like, I just read a quote from her. It's like, it comes down to story and perspective. That's why she had a different, so blah, 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 you know, whatever.
That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about black cinema, and they want to talk about Infinity Stones.
Well, can't they do both?
No.
Come on, yes they can.
Not the Marvel machine. No, they can't. You've seen what happens when they try.
I just want to make a movie about apartheid. Like something like really, really like harrowing. I want to talk about
segregation. I want to talk about Infinity Stones. Well, shit.
I don't even know if Black Panther would deal with Infinity Stones, quite frankly.
No, they probably wouldn't. This is just my bad joke.
Because he's pretty down to earth. I'm excited about Black Panther, just like the idea of it. I think that could be really cool if they do it right.
set to see. I'm really curious about Doctor Strange because it's Scott Derrickson, who's kind of hit or miss with me. But when he hits, he really hits.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Yeah. So
I really want like a horror cosmic Marvel movie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how horrifying it's going to be, but I think it's going to be really
gonna be like kitty horrifying.
I don't know about that, but I think it should be out there. I mean, it's got fucking Strange in the title, so you know.
Doctor Strange Love.
What is this, a remake?
Yeah, I know. I'm admittedly curious. I just want to see what they do.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch, so.
I don't want them to fuck it up. Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up, y'all. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And they got a really damn good cast going so far, because it's got, like, isn't, like, Chiwetel Ejiofor in it now? I think he is.
Is Chiwetel Ejiofor in there?
Yeah, like, that's what I thought it was.
Because if he is, then shit.
Yeah, and then,
I'm excited. Why can't he play Black Panther? Oh, wait, no, I like Chadwick Boseman a lot, too. So.
Yeah, I think with Chiwetel, it's just that he's kind of older, but it's like...
Yeah,
And I think, unlike the other people, like, you could say, oh, but what about Robert Downey Jr.? Well, Robert Downey Jr. is fucking, like, on set, standing in, like, a mocap suit. He's not doing all the Iron Man shit. You know what I'm saying? At least you could say with, like, someone like Chris Evans or Chris Pratt, they're in their early to mid-30s, so they can still do shit. I don't know how old Chiwetel Ejiofor is, but he's probably, like, in his 40s or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chadwick Boseman's, like, what, late 20s?
I think he's, like, early 30s.
Yeah, so he's perfect. And it's Black Panther. He's a very physical guy. He's a hunter, for fuck's sake. It's like, if they got, like, a 50-year-old guy to play Daredevil, it'd be dumb. also, Tilda Swinton's apparently in Doctor Strange.
God damn.
So they're getting good people. They're getting good people.
I hope that script is good.
Yeah. Is Scott Derrickson doing it?
I don't know.
Okay, well. Well, there you go. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know if he's written anything. I just remember the last thing I saw from him was Sinister, which was well directed but kind of poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it was Carlyle from The League and
Robert Cargill.
Yeah, which, sorry guys, it was like half of a great idea that just kind of spiraled into crap. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not going to win any fans there, but it's just how I felt. It gave me hope for the director.
Okay, I think you're freaking out about something that's not really a problem, Neil.
No, I'm not actually freaking out. I'm just like, okay. Whatever.
But anyway, Ant-Man, it was really solid. I think you should go see it.
You should absolutely go see it.
Go see it. If you're on the fence about it, go see it. I mean, see a matinee of it.
Go see it twice. What are you gonna do? It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I think.
What else are you gonna spend your money on?
Like, I know we didn't spoil a lot. Like, this is weird for us that we didn't really go too deep into it. But yeah, like the third act. I don't want to spoil the third act because it's really fun and really like.
It's a movie where it gets better as it goes along. Like I know that it's not like one of those like it kind of peaked in the middle and then like in the end it just sucks.
Yeah, that was
like,
kind of what I was getting at in the very beginning when I said like the first two acts like to me were like good but not super great. But then like the third act to me is when like I think a lot of the ideas of Ant-Man really gelled and it's like you could just tell that they were having fun with the whole shrinking and all that stuff and It makes me excited for some kind, like, not even, like, a sequel, but him showing up in other stuff. Like, I want to see, like, you know, how they started Age of Ultron, but, like, now we have, like, a scene with him and Black Widow and Captain America or some shit, and, like, and Falcon. Yeah. And it's, like, shrinking Ant-Man, growing Ant-Man, you know, punching people, shrinking, whatever, doing shit. It'll be fun. So
I just want more action star Paul Rudd.
Yeah, who would have fucking thought?
I was actually telling that to Steven after we got back from seeing it. Like, if you had told me, like, 5 years ago that I would be saying action star Paul Rudd, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
This would be one of the movies he'd follow up This Is 40 with.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, This Is 40.
Yeah, speaking of Jon Apatow, go see Trainwreck, it's good.
I'm gonna go see it sometime soon when I get the time.
When I get the time and money.
I get paid tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, thank you, Neil, for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Do you want to give me your arbitrary number rating of Ant-Man? Out of 10.
I would probably give it 8 ruined picnics out of 10.
8 ruined picnics out of 10.
Get it, 'cause ants.
I would give it probably 7.5 Antonys out of 10.
And like Antony and the Johnsons?
No, like Antony the ant in the movie, you goddamn Claude.
Why can't it be Antony and the Johnsons?
Why can't it never be Antony and the Johnsons? I said Antony.
Yeah, that's Antony and the Johnsons.
No, Antagony, Frisky Dingo, whatever. Fuck it.
Get the fuck out of here.